have to plan a message on the day, on the week of finals. Makes it a lot of fun to have everything crammed together. So if it seems like I did this quickly, well, I did, but I only had a day and a half. So I guess technically two full days, but even that was a little crammed. And I had to figure out what I was preaching on before I could start developing a message too. So that takes a little time. We'll go ahead and start off in prayer, and hopefully the Lord will bless. Lord, thank you for your grace, your watch care, Lord. Lord, even if I fumble about, you know what we need, Lord, and you can take care of us. You can bless little handfuls that, Lord, that we pitifully throw out there, Lord. You're a wonderful and gracious God. I ask that you do bless the service. Help, Lord, that I can speak clearly, Lord, and whatever truth you want will come out, Lord. Bless, take care of me, and help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go ahead and start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The verse says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We all know, or I guess most of us know what vocation means. I suppose there's a couple that don't, but it's basically your job, the thing you do for a living. Though to a Christian, vocation isn't how you make money. It doesn't apply to us. I don't remember the name of the preacher, but somebody asked him what he did for a living, what his job was, and he said, I'm a preacher, I only cobble to pay the bills. His job, the thing he considered his vocation, was preaching. The way he made his money was cobbling, because for him, you couldn't. His salary wasn't enough. So, and that's how we ought to be. We aren't preachers. None of us are preachers in here. But our jobs, what we go to make a living, is not our vocation. Our vocation is that we are ambassadors in the Lord. That we're joint heirs with Christ. That we're kings and priests. We're not, we don't have a light vocation. And walking worthy of that vocation is not a light thing. If you think of the president, how he's supposed to walk, you don't expect him to come with a holy shirt and just walking around careless. You expect them to have a certain standard. You expect a CEO of a company to have a certain standard. How much more when you're an ambassador for Christ? What standard ought you to have? And it's a standard that of ourselves we can't even meet. I'm going to be preaching on one point of how to walk worthy. Because I'm a college student, I've learned how to invent fake words, and that's what I did tonight. The word is readism. It's an alliteration for the message tonight. Each letter has a word to go with it, so just to help things flow a little bit, the words are read, affect, attention, desire, increase, study, memorize. Now, the first one is read, and I was going to go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. We can probably quote it, but in case I'm wrong, we'll turn there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It might seem like an obvious thing to tell someone, read your Bible. There's an old saying, and it is a very false saying, that says, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. A chapter in your Bible a day will not keep the devil away. The devil would love if you only read a chapter a day. That is how you can become biblically illiterate. You couldn't get through the Bible in 3 years, one time in 3 years, for a chapter a day. And I'm estimating, I didn't do the math, but it takes a long time to get through the Bible if you're doing one chapter a day. You're not going to remember what you have. You don't have a whole lot to go for. It's an important thing to read your Bible. And, you know, I've been told, don't put a time limit or an amount on it. And many times throughout society, in different cultures, people didn't have the luxuries that we have. They didn't have a full Bible. There's been times of persecution where they only had a page or a book or just a little bit. And they didn't have time. They didn't have hours and hours. They were slaves. They were servants. They were watched by others. But they still diligently read and memorized what they had because of how valuable it was to them. They couldn't be found with it, or it would death sentence in several times if you were found with the Word of God in your own language. It wasn't permitted. But our culture, we have a completely different culture. We have a completely different access. People say they don't have time, but they're doing so many other things in their life. I mean, if you're going to be walking worthy, is it really too much to ask for 20, 30 minutes, an hour a day just to read your Bible? Is it really that much of an inconvenience to wake up half an hour early so you can do it? And so many Christians, they get up and faithfully read their daily devotion, which is just one page, and it's really not that deep, but it's not the Word of God. I appreciate devotions. I appreciate commentaries, but they're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is what has an effect. It's what we should be hungering and thirsting after. You get anemic if you only get the little portions, the things that you want. As a parent, you're not going to let your kids pick out all the things they want in every meal and let them leave everything else. As Christians in our daily walk, we know we have a need for reading, just for looking, just for taking care of reading the Bible. On the second letter was E, its effect. The Word of God has a definite and real effect in our lives. In John chapter 15, verse 3, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're clean through the word. The Bible has a cleansing effect. You know, there's an illustration that grandpa's talking to his grandson, little boy, and he asks him how his Bible reading is going. And little boy says, it's real hard. I don't understand most of it, and what I do understand, I don't remember. And I've just given up on it, and it's just no use. And the grandpa sees the empty coal bucket that's just full of coal, and he says, well, could you do me a favor? Could you go to the river and fill this with water and bring it back. And the boy ignored that there's holes at the bottom. And he just ran and did it and brought it back and had an empty pail. And the boy was surprised when he got back, but his father or his grandfather said, "Go ahead and try again, do it again." And this time on the way back, he realized the water's dripping out and he is running, trying to get as fast. And again, it was completely empty when he got back. And he just told his grandpa, "There's no point. I can't get in." And grandpa said, "Try one more time. Just, you're not pushing hard enough. Just run as fast as you can." So the little boy goes, fills it up, runs as fast as he can back to his grandpa. And of course, it's empty. And the grandpa says, "It's empty, but it's clean. You didn't see what you were doing. When you were reading the word, you didn't realize that it's having an effect. You don't always understand it. You don't always remember what you read. But it's God's word. It has an effect." In chapter 17 of the same book, in verse 17, it says, "Sanctifying them through thy word. Thy word is truth." The Bible has a sanctifying effect. It sets us apart. It puts us for a use, a real use. And we'd like to set ourselves apart and say, "Oh, we're holy or ready for this or that." But that's our own vanity speaking, and that's not setting us apart. It's putting us in a useless place. But the Bible, even though we don't realize, even though we can't see it, it has a definite effect. Romans 10:17 points out the simple effect that were obvious to us, that it's for salvation. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How we became, how we got saved, is someone gave us the word, some part of the word, and we heard it, and we had faith in what we heard. It has an effect. It draws us. It pulls us to us. In 1 John 2:5, it tells us that we're perfected by the word of God, that our love is perfected by the word of God, that we're changed, even though we don't see how. There's an effect. There's a difference in us. The next one is attention. We ought to be alert. You ought not get on your couch. If this is your regular reading time, get on your couch, lay back, get all kind of comfortable, and start reading your Bible and think you're going to get anything out of it. You're getting ready for a nap or just something comfortable. When you read, you ought to pay attention. You ought to be alert. In Proverbs 8, verse 1, it talks about wisdom, which is what is gained from reading the word. "Doth not wisdom cry in understanding, put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." The word, it's crying out to be heard. It says, "Hey, you need this." It's a truth that's just crying, and it's, as it says, like lying in the streets. It's unheard, it's uncared by so many people, but it's something that we ought to attend to. It's something we ought to care for. In 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, it says, 2 Timothy, Meditate upon these. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's something worth meditating upon, considering. It's something worth taking heed unto. The next one, there's a promise that is associated with this, and that's desire. That we ought to desire. Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There's a promise for desiring, for hungering, for thirsting after the word of God. There's blessings that can be had. And back in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, it says, So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you desire, if you seek after it, it's there for you. The next one in line is increase. I wanted the word growth, but that doesn't really work with my alliteration, so I use the word increase instead. And in Mark chapter 4, that we went over this a little bit, but in verse 26 through 29, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." You don't know how growth is coming when you're doing it. When you start, all of a sudden, when you start reading, you don't see any development. Then all of a sudden, you're able to start connecting passages. All of a sudden, you're remembering verses that you didn't purposely try to remember. It's just something that you're starting to become familiar with. It's a part of a growth from this. But the problem with just trusting in one little growth is that as soon as the fruit comes, the sickle's brought forth and it's taken. We have to be constantly planting the seeds of the word in our hearts. It's a continual process for growth. It's something that's we have to consider as important. We have to continually seek growth. It's not a small thing. In Psalms 119:165, it's the verse that says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." It's an increase. It's something more. And it's not a common thing to love the word of God. A lot of people say it, but nothing shall offend them. That's not a common character trait. Not amongst Christians, not amongst anyone. It's something unusual. Remember Peter, when the Lord told him, "Lovest thou me?" The Lord used the word agape love. Do you have a full love for me? And Peter responded with filio, I'm fond of you. The Lord ended up having to lower it to the same word, just a fondness. But there's growth that needed to happen in Peter's life. There's growth that needs to happen in ours. I think we could all clearly say that we're fond of the word of God, that we like it. But love are we really acting like we love the Word of God? Is that something that we hunger? Is it like David, more than our necessary meats? Or is it something, well, it's more like dessert. You know, it's nice to have, but not too much of it. Then the S is study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman approved unto God. That's not a workman approved unto man. It's not approved unto us. That's an easy thing to be approved unto man. My bosses at Hobby Lobby love me. I work hard. It's easy to be approved unto man. Are we studying as if we're trying to be approved unto God, or are we still trying to be approved unto man? We want to have something smart to say when the pastor talks about something, or we want to prove a point. Someone says something we don't agree with, so we'll diligently seek the word to prove a point. But do we study to study the word of God to be approved, to be someone that has an answer always ready? The last one, it's the M, it's the memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's important to memorize. It's something kind of hard to commit yourself to. I've memorized Isaiah 53 before, but I haven't kept reviewing it. So I could get the first, second verse, skip parts of the third, fourth, I'd have to skip. There's a few other verses that I could come out with and then I could give you words and every, but I don't have it memorized. And that's a precious chapter in the book, in the Bible. And we ought to take effort to memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We know the temptations out there. The word of God is a defense. And having it hidden in our hearts, ready for our use, is a blessing beyond measure. The last, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 28. It's not part of it. This is part of the word readism. This but it's a part of the subject. Part of if you really want to walk worthy. Verses 9 through 13. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The word of God is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You don't read it and start getting everything. It's you get a little here, you get a little there, you work. The Lord works in your heart, adding to it. But to the carnal, to someone that walking in the flesh, what the Lord planned as a rest becomes grievous. It comes to trouble. I've got something more important. And so that which he said in verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Yet it's too easy to cut down your devotion. And if you've got a small devotion, then cutting it down means you're non-existent. it's too easy to say, well, I don't need it today. I've studied, I read last night. I'll make it through today. What's meant to be the rest. This what's supposed to be our refreshing. This is supposed to be our help, our comfort, going to the Word of God. And then when the cares of this life come, they choke the Word. It becomes unfruitful because we've got something more important than the Word of God. And we become those that would not. We won't hear because there's something more important to us. The commandments of the Lord become grievous because we don't choose Him first. We don't make it a priority. It's not always easy to determine never to miss the Word of God. It's not always easy to say, I will not miss a single day. I will not miss a morning devotion. I won't miss an evening devotion. But then we fall back in the trap that the Israelites fell in, that we would not. We become defiled. Our lives are not easier. We don't have that thing that's supposed to help and strengthen us, supposed to clear our minds, supposed to help us unload our burdens. It doesn't have that cleansing effect that we need in our life. It doesn't have that sanctification to set us apart. It's the Word of God is sharp and powerful. It has a purpose. It's a discerner of the heart. It can show you your needs and what you need to do. And if we just neglect it, then we're falling way short. Lord, help us, Lord, that we will take you seriously, Lord, that we will walk worthy of our vocation, that we won't let this slide your word, Lord. Bless us to seeking you out, Lord. It's taking this as a hid treasure, Lord. That we can have those promises that if we seek, we'll find, Lord, that you'll move and you'll bless us, Lord. Take care of us. Bless this church. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.